Paul writes, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's just so wonderful, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. Teach us tonight from your word to be strong in our faith, knowing that the strength isn't ours, but it's because you stand with us as your people, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I would start with a little bit of a humorous story. This is a letter to a man from an insurance company asking for more information on his claim. Dear sir, I am writing in response to your request for additional information. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put, quote, poor planning, unquote, as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them into a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the brick into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block number 11 of the accident reporting form that I weigh 135 pounds. Due to my sudden surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid pace up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight in block number 11. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. in the vicinity of the third floor. I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the two fractured ankles, the lacerations of my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of bricks, and fortunately, only three vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel six stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. Now you're probably wondering, what does that have to do with 2 Timothy chapter 4? Well, you know, when I look at Paul's circumstances, we've all had bad days. And this was just meant to highlight a very, very bad day for that bricklayer. We've all had those kind of bad days and bad times in our life when everything seems to go wrong. And this is kind of a situation I see Paul in throughout his ministry, suffering, pain, setbacks, in all kinds of things for the cause of the gospel. And yet he never lost his presence of mind. He never lost his faith. He never lost his ability to push all those things aside and fulfill his mission to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the Gentile world, in spite of so many setbacks. Well, let me give you a little bit of background on 2 Timothy here. This is Paul's last letter written, and it's his most personal letter, as he writes to Timothy to hand over the baton of ministry, the baton of leadership in the church, as he expects that his end is near. He writes in prison, chained to a Roman centurion. We don't know how much time has passed since his first letter to Timothy, but we do know this, much has changed since his first letter to Timothy. Now, on Timothy's side, not much has changed. He's still in Ephesus, ministering and doing the Lord's work in Ephesus. But Paul's circumstances have changed dramatically. And let me just set the stage by reminding you of some of the things we read in 1 Timothy, and particularly in chapter 4 here. One, death stares him in the face. Paul says in verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Now, a drink offering in the Old Testament was where the priest would take wine and pour it out over the sacrifice before it was to be consumed by fire. And Paul says, that's a picture of my life. It's being poured out on the altar of sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. These are not words of hope, my friends. His fate is sealed. He says, the time has come for my departure. He's going to see the Lord real soon, and he knows it. So death stares him in the face. Loneliness and desertion plague him. We see this in verses 9 through 12, and in verse 16, verse 10, it says, Demas, who Paul mentions elsewhere as a faithful worker, has deserted Paul because he loved the world. Yep, when the going gets tough in ministry, the Demases get going, straight out of town. That's just what he did. And in verse 16, Paul says that at his first appearance before the court, in his first trial, everyone abandoned him. He was left fighting for his life on his own, just the Lord standing by his side. Some of his other ministry companions at this time have moved on to greener ministry pastures. Crescens, Titus, Tychicus. Hey, we'd like to help Paul. I know, you know, you've done so much for the church and everything, but we've got busy ministries to attend to. But we'll pray for you. And Paul doesn't discard their ministries. He understands. But he says in verse 11, This is kind of full of emotion. Only Luke is with me. Good old Dr. Luke. When everyone else left, he stays to minister to the aging apostle. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Luke was one of those kind of friends. Enemies of the gospel are attacking. Look at verses 14 and 15. Alexander the metalworker did me much harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Alexander the metalworker, how'd you like to do battle with that guy? Here's Paul, frail, elderly apostle, probably half blind. He's got ailments. He's been through every imaginable form of suffering there is. And you got this metal worker, I picture, you know, Conan the Barbarian or something, or, you know, some big muscle guy, you know, strongly opposing the gospel message. And Paul says, watch out for him. Be on your guard, not just for him, but for anyone who opposes the gospel message. Not only that, there's much else going on here, but we see in verse 13 and verse 21, winter is coming, and he doesn't have his coat. He says, bring my cloak. Now, how do I know that winter is coming? Well, he says in verse 21, do your best to come to me before winter. And so winter's coming, doesn't have his coat. He says, bring the scrolls. I'm assuming that means his Old Testament scrolls, his scriptures. I mean, it's just one thing after another. That's why I used kind of the opening illustration. It seems like everything that could go wrong seems to be going wrong. And yet, in spite of that, Paul never loses his presence of mind. He never lets go of the rope. He always knows what his mission is. He knows what God has called him to. And in spite of all of this, he carries on and he fights well and he finishes strong. But when it rains, it pours. What I want to talk about tonight, just briefly, is three challenges from this example of Paul and these three statements he makes as he looks back over his life and reflects on his ministry and reflects on his call from the Lord to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He makes these iconic statements. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And so I want to take those three statements of Paul's and make them challenges to us as the Church of Jesus Christ. Challenges to us as individuals, yes, but also challenges to us as the Church of Jesus Christ. So challenge number one, and I want us to see in the text how Paul was able to pull this incredible ministry off, because it wasn't in his own strength. If it was in his own strength, none of it would have happened, but it was the Lord who stood by his side. So challenge number one is to fight the good fight. The Lord will give you the strength. The Lord will give us the strength. We see this in verse 7 when he says, I have fought the good fight. And the word fight there means a struggle or a contest. A military fight cannot be far from his mind. He is chained to a Roman centurion, a Roman soldier. And Paul was the ultimate soldier of Jesus Christ. In fact, he calls himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 a soldier of Christ, a faithful soldier. Friends, listen, the Christian life is not a trip to Disney World. Don't listen to the purveyors of a prosperity gospel that if your life isn't happy and healthy, that you somehow don't have enough faith. That just is, it flies in the face of everything we read in Scripture, where we're promised suffering because our Lord suffered. And I think of Paul's entire life and ministry, and a fight is a good way to describe it. Think about it. Multiple times in prison, faced death again and again, received 39 lashes 5 times, beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, spent a day and night at sea, in continual danger from rivers and robbers, in danger from his own countrymen, from the Jews as well as from the Gentiles, in danger from false brothers, false teachers, weary, in pain, often cold, thirsty, naked, and on top of all that, continually concerned about the churches, shepherding the flock of God. And yet, Paul was able to say in Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul knew what it meant to fight the good fight. Now the question is, I don't want to make Paul the hero of this, right? Where did Paul get the strength to fight this good fight? Well, look at verses 17 through 19. He says, at my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. And here it is, underline this, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, Falls Church, Falls Orthodox Presbyterian Church, fight the good fight. The Lord is with you. Fighting the good fight means being true to the gospel in a culture that hates it, that pushes back against it. Like we saw that just in the Olympics, in the opening ceremony, right? How they mocked the Last Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a culture in which we need to fight the good fight, and we need strength. But it's the Lord who gives us the strength. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, and ever-present help in trouble. So Paul's not the hero here, but the Lord is the hero. He stood by Paul's side and gave him strength in spite of all these many things that came against him and Satan's attempt to try and stop the progress of the gospel. So, fight the good fight. In Falls Church, finish the race. The Lord will give you the endurance. Look at Paul's words again in verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now, this is, you can all relate to this. This is athletic imagery. We've got the Olympics going on. I watched a race, I think it was yesterday. It was the 400 meter team race where they have 2 women and 2 men racing and each one does 100 meters. And the U.S. was in the lead most of the way. And at the very end of the race, a woman from the Netherlands shot up and passed our American in the lead and just the fastest woman I've ever seen run and passed her up and took the gold and we got the silver. Now, we finished the race and got the silver, but wow, did that woman from the Netherlands finish the race? It takes endurance, training, focus to run a race, an athletic race, and that's what it takes to run the Christian race. That's why we have to disciple people, train people. That's why Jesus tells us in his Great Commission to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all I have given you. What's the race that Paul's run here? That he's, when he says, I finished the race. Well, he says this, he tells us what he was finishing, what his mission was in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Listen to this. He says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. See, that's the race Paul was running. Finishing the mission that Jesus on the road to Damascus gave him to take the good news, the gospel, to the Gentile world. And he fulfilled that call. He fulfilled that duty because the Lord stood by him and he was able to finish. The Lord gave him the endurance that he needed. He couldn't have done all that on his own. He needed resurrection power, the same power of the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Friends, it's easy to start out the Christian life well. It's not so easy to finish it well, is it? I have a friend, I met him when I was a young man. We were all attending a church, the church where I met my wife Barb, and he was a guy who was on fire for the Lord. We used to go out with the singles group, and we'd have Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, and on Wednesday, all of us singles would go visit other singles who had come and visited the church, and we'd share the gospel with them if we could. We'd go knock on their doors. This is when you could do that. Today, people would probably answer with a loaded Colt, but back then, you could knock on people's door and have a gospel conversation with them. And this friend of mine, he taught me how to share my faith using like the Romans Road and so forth. And today, he's completely rejected the gospel. He's into Eastern mysticism. You know, it's easy. It's easy to start the race. But when discouragement comes, and that's what happened to him, he had some health issues. He got discouraged. He was infatuated with a young lady. She didn't respond to his endeavors, all that. And he just said, I've had enough. And he dropped out of the race. Finish the race. God has redeemed you for a mission, Christians. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's your race as individual Christians, to glorify God through your faithfulness to Jesus Christ and His grace toward you. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And yet it's not hard because Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. It's hard. It's difficult. But it's also the best blessing we could ever imagine. So where did Paul get the endurance to run this race he was running with such passion, energy, and joy? Well, I go back to verses 17 and 18 again. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Jesus is the friend, as we talked about this morning, that sticks closer than a brother. He is with us. God is with us. God is for us. And God will help us complete the mission He's given us. Strength, endurance, it's not found in a plan. It's found in a person, Jesus Christ, walking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, getting to know Him through His Word, prayer, etc. So Paul says, I've fought the good fight, I finished the race, and finally, he says, I've kept the faith, and that's the third challenge here. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm not talking about your personal faithfulness
in your walk with God. Paul's talking about something a little bit different here. He says, I have kept the faith. The definite article before it. The faith. The doctrine. The body of teaching that we must hold to as Christians. Paul has rigorously kept the faith. He's clarified what the gospel is. He's fought for the truth of the gospel. He stood up against false teachers who were distorting the gospel. That's what the faith is. It's biblical teaching. And friends, that's why it's so important that churches like yours, Falls Presbyterian, stand firm on God's holy word. All scripture, Paul writes earlier to Timothy, is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is the faith we must keep, being true to God's word. You know, so many churches today, so many formerly strong Christian churches, if you look at the history of our country, have abandoned the gospel. Look at the United Methodist Church. It just lost thousands of churches because they've given up on the gospel and given in to the culture. And we can never do that. We must stand firm on the gospel and keep the faith. Paul rigorously kept the faith, and for him, it was played out in taking that faith, that body of teaching, the gospel, the good news, to the Gentile world. And he was faithful from that day on the road to Damascus when God gave him his mission until this day as he contemplates his very, very soon coming death when he will meet the Lord. And so the challenge is to keep the faith. Now, Paul, as he writes, this again is his most personal letter. He's writing to Timothy, and what he's really doing is he knows he's leaving soon, and he's handing the baton, the mantle of leadership off to Timothy. I want you to listen to what he says in chapter 1 as he makes these challenges to Timothy. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 14. It's a little bit lengthy passage here, but I think it's worth it. So read along with me if you have your Bibles open. Therefore, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher. This is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And friends, that's the challenge. Keep the faith. Guard the good deposit God has entrusted to you. Preach the word in season and out. Bible-based, gospel-centered ministry is the only kind of ministry for the church of Jesus Christ. So many churches get sidetracked with all kinds of different things that just lose focus on the gospel. So the challenge is, fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. And I pray and I trust that God will give you, Falls, the strength that you need as Jesus stands by your side as you carry out his mission for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful challenge that Paul gave Timothy, and it's